If you would get your Bible and open to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And while you're making your way there, I want to give you a little road map of where we're headed this summer as we are taking a break in our study of 1 Corinthians. So today I'm going to begin a four-week series called What Has God Said About? In this series, we're going to hit four different topics. Today I'll preach about hospitality. Pastor Brandon will preach the next 2 weeks, 1 week on serving, 1 week on finding the will of God for your life. And then we have a brother, a fellow pastor who's a part of my network, who actually pastored a few of our members when they lived in Texas. He'll be joining us and he will be preaching on forgiveness. So what has God said about forgiveness? And then after these 4 weeks, we're going to spend some time discussing Reformed Baptist distinctives. So what does it mean to be a Reformed Baptist? What does it mean? We'll be hitting some topics like the covenants, the relationship between the law and the gospel, some of the relationship of how we would view baptism, and some other topics. And some of you might be thinking, well, why are we doing this? Why not just continue to preach verse by verse as is our typical practice here? Why not just continue through 1 Corinthians? And why do we need to take a break and do a topical series? Well, there are a few reasons. First, through regular conversations that our elders have with members, we've noticed some common themes and different things that have come up in those conversations as we've aimed to shepherd our congregation well. And we want to just address some of these topics. We want to address them in a way that would bring clarity and provide biblical insight to those. We think that these are widespread, and so they need attention as a whole church. These are specific subjects that we think the entire church needs to hear about. So we believe that preaching from the pulpit on a Sunday morning at our normal, regular congregational gathering is the most prudent. I foresee us utilizing these outlines for Sunday schools or different equipping classes in the future. But for now, we think that it's best to instruct the church as a whole. Furthermore, as we experience numerical growth and spiritual growth as a church, we want to ensure that everyone is aligned, that we know where we're going, make sure that everyone understands what our church represents and what we're about. We do our new members class. We do a very extensive interview with prospective members, making sure that they answer or they can ask any questions. We try to answer all the questions, but nevertheless, it always comes up, well, I didn't know that we were this, or I didn't know that. And so we just want to provide some clarity, and we think this summer will be a good time for us. And Lord willing, we'll all grow, and we will learn more together. So now that you have a clear understanding of the path ahead, let's look at our anchor text for this morning as we focus on what God has said about hospitality. So, 1 Peter 4, 8 through 9, I'm going to read these two verses for us. I'm going to pray for us. Please pray, join with me when I pray silently in your head. God's word says this: above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, once again, we come to you through our mediator, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have now to worship you through your word, through the preaching, teaching. We ask, God, that you would give us a greater understanding of your design for hospitality, your design for the church, and the expression of hospitality that you call your people to demonstrate. We ask that you would help each and every individual here in the way that you see fit. We ask that your Spirit would work in and through this time together for our good and your glory. I pray this all in Christ's name. God's people said, amen. Amen. So today we aim to answer the question, what has God said about hospitality? And I want to start by defining hospitality from a biblical perspective, because I think we often think of hospitality as just entertaining people in our homes. And while being a good host and ensuring your guests have a good time is important, it's critical. Providing entertainment is not the primary goal of biblical hospitality. We want more than that. We want something greater. So, here's my definition. Biblical hospitality is using your physical and spiritual resources to serve others and build meaningful relationships centered around unity in Christ. I'm going to say this again. Biblical hospitality is using your physical and spiritual resources to serve others and build meaningful relationships centered around unity in Christ. Okay? So let me exegete this real quick. So we're using our physical resources. It means our homes, our other possessions, the things we have, our physical resources. We're also using our spiritual resources here. The spiritual gifts that God has given you, generosity, mercy, exhortation, wisdom. You want to use those things to help others. We also need to remember that it's serving others. So hospitality is not about you. A lot of people invite you over and they talk the whole time. That's not fun for anyone. It's like drinking from a fire hose. We don't want that. Like, you should be a good host. It's about serving others and having them into your home, helping to hear and learn how they need to grow, how you can help them. We also know that in the definition, I said we want to build meaningful relationships. Brothers and sisters, we need friends. We need friendships. We'll get into that a little bit more later. But most importantly, the final point is that it is centered around unity in Christ. So it's not just entertainment. Now, there's a discipleship component to biblical hospitality. All right, so it's relationships that already exist, brothers and sisters, that you already have, you're building on that relationship. But also, hospitality, biblically, is evangelistic. So you invite unbelievers into your home, and your goal is to help to share the gospel. Use your table, use your fellowship to share the good news of Christ. To help them, you want to invite them in to a relationship. So, that is our definition. It's how I want us to think about hospitality. When I use the word hospitality in the rest of the sermon, that's how I want us to think about it. That's what I mean. And listen, we have to get this right. Like, we don't have an option here. Our church is not program-driven, and we will never be. We will not have 100 plug-and-play programs where you can just slip into and just kind of cruise along with everyone else. And why? Because the Bible doesn't tell churches to build programs. The Bible tells us to practice the one another's through hospitality. As our church grows numerically, it will become increasingly difficult for people to feel connected and develop genuine friendships if we do not practice biblical hospitality as defined. Look, I've had many conversations with men in the last, 6 months or so, and many of them say, like, I just feel lonely. I show up to service, I participate, I'm serving, I'm in a small group, but I don't feel like I have any real meaningful friendships. And I mention the men because that's who I spend one-on-one time with. So we've got to get this right. We must remember that biblical hospitality is not an option, it's a command. And there's a reason for it. And while our corporate worship gatherings on Sunday morning are small groups throughout the week are vital components of church life. Like, those are the, you gathering on Sunday is the, you must. Okay, then there's some things that you should. We'll get into that in a moment. That's small groups. You should be a part of small groups. There's things that you could do. But if you just show up to Sunday service and you just go to your small group, we will never develop true, meaningful relationships. We have to have biblical hospitality. All right, well, I've said enough. Let's test what I've said against the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Now, it's important to understand the context of this section of Scripture. Okay, so we're diving into 1 Peter, the next to last chapter and a letter that he's written. So we got to get some context here. We need to understand what's going on. For one, it's important to understand that Peter is writing to a group of churches spread across modern Turkey. Okay, this is what's called a circular letter. It means that he is writing to a group of Christians and not just addressing specific issues like we've seen in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. This is a broader audience here. And the context of Peter's writing is one of intense persecution. The Christians that Peter is writing to are facing great hostility, harassment, persecution from those around them. And Peter repeatedly emphasizes that as Christians, they are the family of God. I mean, he's like, you've got to understand this. You're a family. In chapter 1, verse 22, he calls them to brotherly love, instructs them to love one another earnestly. Chapter 2, verse 9, he tells us that Christians are a royal priesthood and God's chosen people. Verse 17 of chapter 2, he says, honor everyone, but love the brotherhood, the family. There's a particular love that you ought to have within the body of Christ. And we can take these and come to a credible understanding that Peter believes that understanding and investing in their relationships as the family of God will strengthen their ability to face persecution. It's like, get this right within here. Develop some armor. Strengthen your spine. And you will be able to face whatever the world throws at you. Peter also tells his reader in verse 7, right above our text, you can look up there with me, that the end of all things is at hand. Think about that for a moment. Now, this is not a doomsday message. It simply means that Christ could return at any time. Christ can return, which means we should use our time wisely. We should make the most of our days on earth as we await Christ's return. And of all the things that the Holy Spirit could have inspired Peter to write, he gives us a simple straightforward message. Practice hospitality. Look at our text. I'm going to read it again for us. It's short enough to do that. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So this passage highlights four essential components of hospitality that merit our attention as we strive to understand what God has said about this subject. Let me give you these in order, and then we'll unpack each one. One, we will see the necessity of hospitality. Two, we see the goal of hospitality. Three, we see effort required for hospitality. And then fourth, we'll see the attitude of hospitality. So the necessity, the goal, the effort, and the attitude. We begin by looking at the necessity of hospitality. And I want you to notice Peter's language in verse 8 as he writes, above all. Now, this phrase is translated from two Greek words that, when combined, mean before everything else. In other words, Peter is telling us that this is of first importance. This is something that has to happen. We have to elevate it over and above other things. As I mentioned earlier, I want you to consider it this way. There are a lot of things you could do. There are some things you should do. There are a few things you must do. This is in the must-do category. Peter says, above all, do these things. God says that hospitality is one of the things that Christians must do. Consider the qualifications for an elder outlined in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Both passages include hospitality as a qualification for men serving the church as elders. I've mentioned this before, but the qualifications of elders are not intended to be some exclusive, exhaustive, hard-to-reach list. It's a standard for Christianity. Elders just model it, are supposed to model it well. The elders model, the church follows their example. Therefore, we can confidently assert that hospitality is an expectation for all Christians. There is no option to opt out. You can't click the button to unsubscribe. You have to do it. Hospitality is a necessary ingredient in the lives of those who follow Christ. And why? Well, because God has been hospitable to us. Why are any of us Christians? Think about it. Why are you a Christian? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God the Father generously gave his Son as your substitute and then brought you in to his family through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in your life. God has been hospitable to you, sinner. He has taken you from rebel to righteous, from foe to family. He's welcomed you. Thus, we ought to welcome others. This is where we see our second component of hospitality. We see the goal of hospitality. In verse 8, he says, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So what is the goal? Loving one another. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this phrase, keep loving, means we must do this so that our love will continue to grow. I want you to think about your best relationships that you have. Kids, you can maybe think about your sibling or a cousin, maybe one of your neighbors, a friend. Singles, you think about your best friends that you have. Some of you have really good relationships with your parents. It's a great thing. If you're engaged, probably one of your best relationships is with your fiance. You enjoy that time together. If you're married, your most important relationship better be the one with your spouse. And one of the ways you strengthen your relationship is through what? Face-to-face time together. Interaction. Spending quality time with one another. Like, we all know that long-distance relationships only work for a limited period of time. Why? Because they lack the face-to-face. You don't really have that same connection. I can't stand Zoom meetings, right? Like, I have to do them sometimes, but man, they're awkward. Like, people's phones go in and out, and it's just like, it's just different. It's something about being with people. It's something about spending time with those we love. The time spent together fans into flame our love for that person. Our affections deepen. Our admiration grows. The language loves one another earnestly tells us that this is a love that is intentional and fervent. It is something that we do. And Peter says that this earnest, fervent love covers a multitude of sins. Now, what does that mean? It covers a multitude of sins. This is similar to what Solomon writes in Proverbs 10:12. He says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that only the blood of Christ covers our sins. Amen? So Peter is not arguing for some type of relational atonement. He's not saying that this is going to atone for your sins. What he is saying is that when we have earnest love for one another, expressed face-to-face encounters, we will learn to overlook many offenses. In other words, solid Christian relationships will help those sinned against learn how to forgive and help those sinning to sin less. Now, how? There are many reasons, but primarily because as relationships grow and people learn to love one another, they also learn how to disciple one another. Consequently, individuals learn to overlook minor issues and address the major ones, resulting in less frequent occurrences of sin. The reality is that many people have issues with others that could be easily resolved with a sit-down, face-to-face, time-spent-together conversation. So the goal of hospitality is to grow in our love for one another, thereby reducing sin in our lives. This takes work, doesn't it? Sounds hard for those who aren't already doing this. Like the old saying goes, though, without hard work, nothing grows but the weeds. We don't want that. Listen, God knows that this type of hospitality is not natural for many people. There's some that are super extroverted and have people in their homes all the time. There are some that would be fine with going into a cave and curling up with a lamp and a book. and never talking to anyone again. But hospitality is a command, and it is a muscle that must be exercised. And brothers and sisters, you know that starting a new diet, as Pastor Matt mentioned earlier, or starting a new health plan, exercise, workout regimen, whatever the case may be, we know that at first it's hard, but the results are worth it. So God's word speaks to this. God doesn't let us off the hook. He says, no, you have to do this. Understand it's going to be hard. And in our text, we see our third component, the effort involved in hospitality. Look at verse 9. Peter says, show hospitality to one another. So very simply put, show hospitality means what? It means you got to do something. How are you going to show it if you don't do it? And that's not limited to our text today. Romans 12, 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hebrews 13, 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So the Bible is clear that hospitality takes work. There is effort involved. It doesn't just happen. And it isn't the church's responsibility to develop programs to accomplish hospitality. The hospitality team on Sunday morning is not our primary means of hospitality when we gather. You know who the hospitality team consists of? Everybody. All of you. The people up front are just serving in a different way. But it's our job on Sunday to be a hospitable church as we welcome people into our gathering. And it doesn't stop on Sunday mornings, though. It's supposed to be carried out throughout the week. It's called living as a Christian. I'm going to conclude in a few minutes with some practical tips on practicing hospitality and making an effort and how we actually put this into place. But before I do, I want to look at our fourth component of biblical hospitality, the attitude of hospitality. All right, let's read the whole text again, 8 and 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. Without grumbling. So the attitude of hospitality is the opposite of grumbling. It is one of joy. Our hospitality must be marked with gratitude, joy, thanksgiving. One pastor said, quote, hospitality is making your guests feel like they're at home, even if you wish they were, end quote. But seriously, though, if we really look at our status in Christ, our salvation, like we should, as I mentioned earlier, we have to understand what we've been given as Christians. We've been brought into the family of God by God's grace. Think back to your salvation, Christian. Think back to who you were. Think back to what it took. Maybe some of you was just being born into a Christian family who just faithfully preached the Word of God and model biblical Christianity to you. Praise be to God if that's your story. But you didn't choose where you were born, did you? I didn't choose where I was born. It is all of God's grace, His mercy, His sovereign, providential hand over your life. We've done nothing to earn it. And God does this joyfully. Our God is not a moody, grumpy old man. Our triune God is a God of joy. God the Father is joyful. 1 Corinthians 16:27 reminds us of this. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. God the Son is joyful. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy that was set before him, our Savior Jesus Christ endured the cross. God the Spirit is joyful. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit's presence in our life is, one component is joy. We have joy because the Spirit is with us. And Peter instructs Christians to show hospitality in that same way. We cannot do this begrudgingly. We cannot do it while grumbling. I've seen this, right? I can't believe she invited people over again. Man, golly, like, we doing this again this week? Or like, oh, I wish I didn't invite so-and-so over. Like, my day's kind of gone a little crazy. No, we just welcome people into our mess. Like, hey, our day was a little off. Things are going to be a little bit different while you're here. And that's okay. It's called being real. But we must have proper perspective and demonstrate the biblical attitude in our hospitality. So what is hospitality? Biblical hospitality is using your physical and spiritual resources to serve others and build meaningful relationships centered around unity in Christ. So how do we practice hospitality? Now let me just say, this church is the most hospitable church I've ever been a part of, okay? So this isn't like a slap on the hand, you gotta get this is just an encouragement. We wanna continue. It's a joy when we sit down with prospective members, and we ask them, we always ask, why do you want to join our church, right? Because we want to know, why do you want to join our church? If it's because I'm mad at this church, well, you got to fix that first, okay? So we want to know, why do you want to join this church? And one of the things we often hear is how hospitable our church is. So keep up the good work, church. But we know that we always have room to grow. So I want to close with some practical steps. I got four P's to help you remember, all right? Four P's. Prioritize, plan, prepare, and pray. Prioritize, plan, prepare, and pray. Let's talk through these. Prioritize. You have to prioritize hospitality. You must arrange your calendar to practice hospitality. Listen, you can't fill your calendar with a bunch of stuff and then just try to squeeze hospitality in. Okay, in our time, in our day and age, it's just really easy to live individual lives. There's a lot of things going on. How many times today have you heard when you talk to somebody already this morning and you said, how you doing? Busy, right? I mean, it's just common. We're busy people. There's more to do. There's a lot of things going on. But you can't just do your own thing. It's not an option in the Christian life. I'm not saying you shouldn't ever do your own thing. Balance is necessary. Men, listen to me. If you were always hosting and never taking your wife on dates, we have a problem. You need to address that. Take your wife out. Talk to someone in the church. Develop relationships where you trust someone with your children. Grandparents, if you are here, offer your services. Singles who are here, offer your services. It helps the church and it helps you. Women, if you were married and you were only serving others when you were hosting, you were wrong. Your first priority is to serve and care for your family in your home. If you just put on the good face when you have guests, and then you're grumbling when you serve your family day in and day out, there's a problem. That's not what God calls us to do. I'll tell you how we do things and how we try to prioritize in our family. And this isn't like, oh, I figured it out. I'm just telling you how we do it. We don't always do this perfect. We miss different things and we mess it up a lot. This is just how we do it. We just keep specific days on our calendar that we know that we're going to host people. Just kind of like it's built into our calendar. We say, hey, these are days, times that we want to host. We want to be thoughtful. We'll get to that here in a moment when we do, we talk about planning. But the bottom line is this. I mean, if you don't remember anything else, just remember this. Hospitality has to be a priority in your life. Or listen, it will never happen. It'll never happen. You have to prioritize it. Next, plan. So we prioritize, and then we plan. What do I mean here? I mean a detailed plan of action, outlining how you intend to achieve your hospitality goals. So here's what I mean. Like, you have conversations around, like, who am I going to invite over? Is it lost people? Is it new members? Is it guests? And then you need to think about, you need to plan how you're going to spend your time with those people while they're there. You know, you think through, like, what's the goal of our time together? How can I use my home as a blessing to others? One thing that we've done, and many of you have attended, is we've done like a multi-family hangout, right? So we've invited a bunch of people over at one time, and that's kind of twofold, right? One, we get to spend time with people we maybe haven't spent time with them before, but then we also were hoping that relationships will be formed that they can carry out and do on their own without us. We get to step back. Y'all, you know, introduce people, and then Lord willing, they build some healthy relationships. But regardless, we have to plan. We have to be thoughtful in our planning, what we're going to do. Next is prepare. Hospitality takes work. Amen? For y'all that have done it, you know it takes a lot of work. We saw that earlier. We have to show. We have to seek to. There's action there. You have to prepare your home. You have to buy food. You have to cook food. It takes work. But listen, you don't have to go all out. It doesn't have to be lavish. Remember, biblical hospitality is not about entertainment. It's about loving brothers and sisters well. I've been blessed. Our family has been blessed around the simplistic dinner tables with simplistic conversation, meaningful conversation. And we've been blessed around great feasts. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but we do have to prepare. Maybe you've seen the meme where the guy's like cutting down a tree. And the caption says, I told my husband that we had guests coming over in 30 minutes, and he said, well, I guess I got to cut this tree down before they get here, right? I used to be that guy. I'm still kind of that guy, but I'm working, okay? Because it's like, I got to do all these things, and like, this has to look right, that has to look right. And so we freak ourselves out from doing hospitality. We try to overdo it rather than just following the biblical commands and just saying, I'm going to have people over. I'm going to cook them a meal. We're going to have a good conversation. We're going to get to know one another. Or I'm going to invite someone to lunch after service. I'm just going to find someone today. We've been talking about this the last couple weeks. I'm going to find someone today, and I'm going to say, hey, you just want to grab lunch? We all have to eat. We have to be thoughtful about these things. But here's my point. There's a difference between going to someone's house who has put some thought into your time together and being prepared than going to someone's house who hasn't put any thought into it. We can tell the difference. Listen, kids, teens, you have to help here. Okay, you don't get to opt out either. You help your family when it comes to hospitality. You're a part of that. You get to serve. You get to do things to welcome others. Remember, it's not about you. It's about serving others, building up the body of Christ, developing relationships with your brothers and sisters. Our church is a covenant membership community. It goes beyond just the, I signed my membership document. No, we covenant together. Do we live like that? Last is pray. Pray. Pray before guests arrive. Pray for opportunities to host more. Pray that God would help you to become more resourceful. Like, it doesn't take, you know, sometimes we think like it takes a bunch of money to, you know, to do that. No, you just have to be resourceful. You have to use your time, your finances wisely. You can pray and ask God to help you to grow in your love for hospitality. Here's a practice that we've included in our weekly rhythm as a family. Most Sunday nights, we have what we call the Sunday family huddle. And so what we do is we look at the week ahead. We've included our kids on this. And we just look at what's happening through the week, who's coming over for dinner, nights that I might, you know, elder meeting, things that I might be late or something, whatever's going on. We pray for those things. We include our kids. We talk about it. And then we pray for the week ahead together as a family. We say, Lord, help us. Be with the so-and-sos who are coming over. Be with them, Lord. Help us to be thoughtful. Help us whatever. But we want to pray for them together. We want us to set this time apart so it reminds our kids that hospitality is a vital part of the Christian life and that they're included as well. So, prioritize, plan, prepare, and pray. And trust that God will grow your desire and ability to be hospitable. One 19th century church historian writes this about the early church in Rome. Quote, "A living interest in the collective church of Christ throbbed with peculiar vigor throughout the Roman church, and the practice of hospitality was one of its greatest manifestations." End quote. CCF, may the same be said about us. May we grow in our desire, ability, and intentionality with hospitality. May we remember that we have been given the gift of salvation, welcomed into the family of God, and may we then extend that love to others through the biblical command of hospitality. Here in a moment, we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love, and as Seth and Steph make their way back up to lead us, I want to just give you a moment to reflect. Maybe there's areas in your life that you need to exercise hospitality. Maybe there's people in your life that you can think of right now. Ask the Lord to help you to extend hospitality to them. If you're not a Christian, if you have never trusted in Christ and Christ alone, repented of your sins and turned to Him as your only hope of reconciliation between you and God, your Creator, take this time to talk to the Lord now. And then after a moment, I will pray and close our time. We will sing How Deep the Father's Love. Sovereign Lord, we praise you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. In your providence, you have welcomed us, undeserving sinners, into your covenant family, not by our merit, but by your sovereign grace through Christ alone. As the chosen and redeemed, teach us to reflect your hospitality to others. You've opened the door of salvation to us. Would you help us now to open our homes and hearts to others? May our hospitality not be rooted in our strength, but in gratitude for yours. Would you, in your kindness, use our small acts of hospitality to serve your greater purpose, to draw others to Christ, to build up the saints, and to glorify your name. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our gracious Savior and King, and God's people said, amen.